You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 183. And my guest on the show today is Tim. Now, as those of you that listen regularly know that we have two guest formats. There are guests who are live. In other words, we Skype or phone and record the conversation. And there are guests who send in their dreams by email and we interpret over a longer period of time back and forth by email. Tim is the first category. Tim is a Skype guest today. So how this works is that Tim volunteered to come onto the show. So we arranged a time to Skype her, and then I have a quick chat before we begin, and then we start to record. And the moment we start to record is the first time that I hear the dream. So as a listener, you hear the dream for the first time with me, and so you get to hear that whole process. And of course, you get to hear Tim's responses and how she relates to the dream and how it all relates to her life. And it's all wonderful stuff, as it certainly is in this case and is with all of our guests. So the only thing that I knew going in with that quick chat with Tim before we went on, she said, the thing is, I've got a dream, but it's very short. And I also had another dream on the same night, which was longer. And I don't know, do we just do the short one or do we do both the dreams? So I said to her, well, we'll start with the short one and see how it goes, but maybe we'll bring in the second one. Let's just play it by ear. So that was the only thing I knew going in. And you'll see that I actually mentioned that quite early and say, let's bring the second dream in as well. And it's really quite lovely how you see how the two dreams interact. So just before we go on, obviously I'm recording this bit after the conversation with Tim, but just before we go over so that you can listen to that, a reminder of the website address, which is janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H, or find me on Facebook or various other social media. The reasons to go to the website, well, first of all, to listen to every single episode of The Dream Show that ever has been. You can always listen to the last 10 on iTunes, of course. You may also want to go to the website to read the now hundreds of blogs and articles on dreams and dreaming. We also have videos on there now for you to watch. And of course, if you want to buy any books or ebooks or consult me privately, you can do that through the website as well. So janetheresa.com. But first of all, or press pause if you're going to go there first, here's Tim. Welcome to The Dream Show. Tim, how are you today?
I'm very good, thank you.
And what time of day is it in your time zone?
It's 8 o'clock in the morning.
8 o'clock in the morning. And we're towards the end of our day here, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I just love the way we can do these shows and bridge all these time zones. I just love it. But you've had your coffee and you're ready to go?
I am, yes.
Okay, what have you got for me? As usual, I have no idea what dream anybody's going to bring, so I'm all ears. I've got my pencil sharpened, and let's go.
Well, I had a short dream that held an element that I have seen before, but it was different this time. I was by the sea. From the distance, there was this huge wave coming my way. Well, my way, but not very close or anything. But it was really narrow and really high. And after I woke up, I compared it to an apartment building. Mm. And there were more. It was a total of 3 or 4. And from where I was standing, those other 2 or 3 were on the left side, and later they were gone. But this one, at a certain point, it just froze. And that was it. It didn't come closer, but it was still there.
Mm. And was that, you know, you described the first two were on the left. Was the one that froze on the right or in the middle, or was it on the left as well?
It was in the middle. It was exactly where I was standing.
Exactly where you were standing. And how far away was that, Tim, the one that froze?
Wow, that's a really good question. I have no idea. I did afterwards describe the height of it.
Mm-hmm. How high was it?
I said 90 or 120 meters.
90 to 120 meters high. Oh, that's big.
That's huge.
Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions and start off with this short dream. But before interpreting it fully, I'll then bring in the other dream that you mentioned.
Okay, yes.
Okay. So in the dream, what did you feel when you were looking at the waves coming towards you?
Well, that's another thing that kind of startled me afterwards. It didn't bother me. It didn't raise anything of a feeling in me.
Mm.
It was just, and afterwards I thought, that's wrong. That's why I thought it's a sort of deadlock. There is something and I'm just not seeing it. I'm denying it.
Mm.
That's how it felt.
Mm. Even in the dream, it felt that you were denying it because there was no feeling, or just when you thought about that and woke up?
After I woke up, because in the dream it was just, the only thing that really hit me was the fact that it was so high and narrow.
Yes. And it was only when you thought about it after the dream that you likened it to an apartment block, or was that in the dream?
No, that was afterwards.
Afterwards, yeah.
From my own reference.
And when, you know, there were the two or three on the left that came and went, and then there was the one that froze, did you have the same feeling for all of them? In other words, no feeling?
Yes. Okay. To me, if I look at the dream now, if I look back, it's like just observing something.
Mm. And were you standing on a beach, or, you know, I know you said you were by the sea, but what were you actually standing on?
It was a sandy beach.
And so when you woke up, you still had that feeling of like, I don't have any feeling. I'm just watching this frozen wave here.
After I woke up, I thought, that's not right.
That's not right. Okay.
I mean, it should do something, dissolve or come at me or anything.
Yes.
But not just stand there.
Yeah. If you, how long ago was the dream?
This was the night of 11 to 12 of July.
Okay, so as always, so we're actually recording this in late July for those of you listening in. So this is it's quite fresh in your memory, Tim. So the dream is always reflecting initially the one or two days before. So as we look at this dream, we're looking at the 10th, 11th of July, 9th, 10th, 11th of July, around that time. And before delving into it too deep, and I know when you asked to be a guest, you said that there was a short dream and a long dream, so we might look at the long dream as well. But there's that, as I'm listening to you talking about the dream, some things are standing out just in the language that you're using. And that particular thing you said at the end there, you said, that wave shouldn't be frozen. It shouldn't just be standing there. What's it doing just standing there? That should not be happening. It should not just stand there. And I'm wondering, in the day or two before the dream, and it may take a while to remember, whether there was a situation in your life where it felt like something or someone was just standing there and you were thinking, like, this shouldn't be happening. This person or this thing should not just be standing there. That's wrong. This shouldn't be happening. Something should be moving here. Because you also described when you said, I asked you if you had what your feelings were about the waves. You said, I had no feeling. It felt like a deadlock. So it's that feeling of a deadlock, or it's just standing there. Something is not moving. Now, there's a lot more I want to say about it, but is something jumping to mind in the day or two before that has that feeling for you?
Well, there is this situation I also mentioned to you about my job. That's actually dissolving. Wait a minute, yeah. the job should be dissolving, and somehow it's not yet.
So I'm laughing because I saw what you got there. Would you like to interpret that bit of the dream yourself now in the light of that?
I was told I was going to lose my job, and I'm filing it because of the way things went seemed wrong.
Hmm.
But I'm for ages now, I've been like, okay, let it end, let it end, let it end. And it's just standing there still.
Frozen. And as you say, you know, it should be dissolving. And that was the exact word that you used to describe the two or three waves on the left. You said they were gone. They just dissolved. I'm pretty sure you said dissolved when you mentioned them. Yeah.
They just disappeared.
Mm.
So I guess they just, I don't really remember watching them closely, but they were there and then they were gone.
Mm. So if we put this in context of your job, this dream was on the 11th or 12th of July. At the time you had the dream, Tim, can you remember the status of your job at that time?
Well, that's funny because I believe at that time it wasn't that close in my mind.
Mm.
So that's why I'm surprised. But yeah,
did it have a feeling of dissolving at that point, or did it have a feeling of getting to stand still, or had the issue not really come up at that time?
From what I remember, I'd say it didn't come up that time.
It was on your unconscious horizon in the dream, but not in your conscious horizon.
No.
Okay, so if we take that into context, you know, you might say, oh, is this a precognitive dream? Because it looks like on the surface of it, and I don't think it is, but it looks on the surface of it like, oh, well, I had this dream and it predicted that there'd be two or three apparent dissolves of my job. And then it came to this kind of frozen situation where it isn't coming at me. Am I going to keep the job? Am I not? I don't know. It shouldn't just be standing still. Nothing's moving. You could say it was a precognitive dream, but let's go into it a little deeper than that. And let's say, okay, we've got water coming at you here. We've got huge waves coming at you. And while we can't use a dream dictionary approach, you know, symbols mean different things to other people, there is this sense that quite often in our dreams, our water can represent our emotions, because water paints in our dreams a very emotional picture, particularly in this case of a huge wave coming at you. It's like, I've got this huge emotions coming at me. And we can really put a clear understanding on that, because you say in the dream you have no feeling. Mm-hmm. And you woke up and said, I wonder if I'm in denial of something. So there's this sense of unconsciously, there's this huge amount of perhaps this huge emotional thing coming at you, towering above you, but you're keeping it at bay. I'm not feeling anything about this. I'm just keeping it at bay. In fact, I'm so good at doing this. It's dissolved. I've overcome that one. Another one's dissolved. I've overcome that one. Two or three of these emotional waves dissolve. And then the next one doesn't dissolve, but it freezes. Now, the moment you said, Tim, that this wave froze, I was thinking to myself, that's what we do when we're really frightened of something. You know, we go into freeze like an animal. You know, we as an animal will run, we'll fight, or we'll freeze. And there's a sense of, you know, did this wave freeze because you were frozen in fear? And in some sense, when we're frozen in fear, we can have a feeling of no feeling as well. You know, we can even numb out that fear. We're so frozen to it. So, you know, there's that sense as well of huge fear. So I'm wondering, in the light of your job, you know, we might have a dream like that and say, yeah, but what is this great big emotional thing that I'm feeling? Would there have been something about your job that you were unaware of at the time, where there are emotional dynamics or other things going on behind the scenes that you might have been picking up on emotionally?
It's funny you should say that, because for a short while now, I've been thinking about why it takes so long for this job to dissolve. And I realized that maybe I'm the key in this whole thing, because on the one hand, it's something I can accept to lose the job. But on the other hand, it means I will have to be a full-time artist.
Mm.
That's really scary.
So I'm what a blow. A full-time artist. Damn. Sorry, keep going, Tim.
It's really scary.
Keep talking.
So maybe that's what you just described.
Mm. So you feel that at the time of the dream, you might have already been trying to hold these emotions at bay of the fear of meeting the challenge of being a full-time artist?
Well, I know for a fact that before I had this dream, and I can't say it was much different afterwards, but beforehand, I just denied it was scary, and I was like, oh, I should lose this job and continue my life being an artist. So, and after the dream, it wasn't like it was completely different that I acknowledged to be scared, but less convinced that it would solve all my problems if the job disappeared.
Oh, that's fantastic. Less convinced that it would solve all your problems if the job disappeared. And I wonder if at that moment, as you said, you know, you've suddenly had this thought about maybe you're the key to the job dissolving or staying. You know, might it have been that just that thought that I'm less convinced that I really need to lose that job in order to become a full-time artist, that very thought changed everything for you?
Well, actually, I still do believe I need to lose the job to be an artist, because every time I have a job, I just use it as an excuse not to be an artist. So there's a lot of fear in the artist part.
Yes. Have you, this might be a really challenging question, but do you feel consciously or not so consciously that you might have done something to jeopardize your job in order to bring that about?
Should I say it's an ear?
Not if you don't feel comfortable saying it.
No, but yeah. There was a time I thought to myself, I have to change my attitude because otherwise I'm going down. Mm. And I have changed my attitude, but apparently a little too late.
Right, okay. So isn't it wonderful? I love it. I love it, Tim. I love how we kind of sabotage ourselves in order to, sometimes we sabotage ourselves to not such a good end, but sometimes we sabotage ourselves in order to arrive at a better place. So you're saying or admitting to, if I'm getting this right, that you've kind of sabotaged things a little bit by not by changing your attitude a bit, but not the whole way, that has jeopardized your job and has opened the way for you to become a full-time artist. Is that right?
Yes, that
yes.
seems to
be. So you're right. You did do it, didn't you? So there's a part of myself, and then the question becomes. And I feel talking to you that, you know, you're probably doing the right thing, pushing yourself out of comfort zone and moving into full-time artists and seeing what that brings up for you. But having said that, this is what our dreams can help us see. They can help us see when we sabotage ourselves, you know, when we're, as you say, you know, maybe denying our feelings or not looking into something so clearly. And then to ask ourselves that question, is our unconscious mind sabotaging us because it's frightened for us? You know, is it ruining our best opportunities because it doesn't want us to go there, which is a bad thing? Or is it ruining our what we think are our best opportunities because, as in, for example, your case, it's maybe encouraging us to step out of comfort zone and do something bigger and better? In other words, when is the unconscious mind on our side? Really, really on our side. And when is our unconscious side on the side of our past rather than on the side of our future? You know, our unconscious mind trying to say, you haven't done that before, stay with what's safe, stay with the past, rather than your unconscious mind going, go on, do it. So if we go back to the idea of the wave being like an apartment block, tall and narrow, what's your feeling for an apartment? Do you live in an apartment, or what do you feel about apartment living?
I find them impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
Not cozy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people, too close.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, emotionally distant maybe.
As the waves were distant too, so there's a double there. Yeah, the waves were, you said, not close, so emotionally distant. So if we take those things there, impersonal, not cosy, too many people, maybe emotionally distant, does that, is any part of that describe the job that may be dissolving?
Yes and no. It's hard to say. It wouldn't be the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay, yeah. And if we take those same words then, impersonal, not cozy, too many people, a bit distant, would any of that describe your feelings about working as a full-time artist, or your fears or your feelings about working as a full-time artist?
Well, if so, then indeed my feelings and my fears about them, about it.
Mm.
Because the work itself is great.
Yeah. The work is great. What would feel impersonal about it? About being a full-time artist?
Well, actually, it's the most personal.
Yes.
Thing. Because it's my heart, you know?
Yes. So that one's complete opposite. And same with cozy?
Yeah, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really coming home,
okay.
So to speak.
And obviously your house is not crowded with too many people, I would say.
No.
And it's not very distant. It's very close to home. So everything in that list, impersonal, not cozy, too many people, emotionally distant, describes the exact opposite to your home.
Mm, yes.
And in the dream, those are the things that come up and loom at you as fears. And yet your solution, what you're looking at the moment in life, is perhaps, even though it seems like, now that you're understanding this, it seems like the job's still going to be there for you if you choose to take it. But if you were to become a full-time artist, you actually move away from all those things you fear, impersonal, not cozy. You actually get all the pluses. You move away from your fears.
Well, the main fear in waking life would be the question, can I live off it?
Financially?
Yes.
Yes. So if you've got the fear that can I live financially off becoming a full-time artist, then you go, okay, what does this fear motivate me to do? It motivates me to not be a full-time artist. It motivates me to want to keep a job. Oh my God, but the job is the opposite to being a full-time artist. You know, maybe not this current job, but maybe another job would mean that I don't get to be an artist in my own space. So I don't get personal, I get impersonal. I don't get cozy, I get not cozy. I don't get nice place to myself or a couple of people, I get too many people. I don't get emotionally close to heart. I get too distant. So all those things are there in the wave. If I'm frightened to become a full-time artist, I've got to take on all these things, the opposite to what I want.
Yeah, that's spot on.
Yeah. So whether or not that job still becomes open to you, or whether you choose to be a half-time artist and get another job, it's useful to, your dream is useful to, it's giving you the information that it's useful to know that what you seek, if you had to have another job as well, is you're seeking something that is less impersonal, less not cozy. You know, those are the things that you don't want in another job. You know, so one halfway stage is, would you be able to be a half-time artist and find another job that felt more like, you know, that had the personal, cozy, home-based kind of, you know, even work from home for someone else, have some of those other markers in it rather than those things that you associate with the job that an artist has got to have to support the artist's lifestyle, impersonal, not cozy, not too many people, emotionally distant. How does that sound?
Well, if such a job would exist...
And there's the rub, you see. So that's when we then go, okay, now, is that true that such a job doesn't exist? Or is that true in Tim's mind that such a job doesn't exist?
Well, the only thing I have now convinced myself of is that having no job at the moment would be the best to see where I get.
Well, that's wonderful. You're that confident to begin there. And you have all that information in your dream. So here's the tricky question, even though we're going to look some more into your dreams. So if they phone you up later on this morning and say, actually, you've still got the job, what are you going to do?
Cry.
So you're going to unfreeze and cry. Interesting question. So, you know, one thing that our dreams can do is lay that insight out for us so that then if conditions change, we make our decisions with more awareness because we've thought through some of these things. So let's go back. I do want to look at your other dream as well because, you know, you said to me I had another dream on the same night. And maybe we can explore that. And often the dreams on the same night are on the same theme. So we might have a look at that and see if we can add more to this. But you'd said you did the right thing. And after you woke up, you thought, I know Jane Teresa's going to ask me this. So I'm going to work out the height of this wave. And you said 90 to 120 meters. So I keep looking at that 90, which I've written down and seeing 1990, but that doesn't make sense of the 120 meters. So what we normally do in dreams, as you probably know, Tim, as we cross off the zeros and look at the numbers that are left, 9 to 12, and because the unconscious mind, weird as it is with its wonderful dream symbols, tends to be pretty accurate with numbers. So, you know, what have we got to play with there? 9 to 12 months, 9 to 12 years, age 9 to 12, 9 to 12 years ago. But I still keep seeing 90 in 1990. What were you doing in 1990 that may be at all relevant to any of this?
I was in school.
But had you already decided on the arts kind of path then?
I think it was always there, but I'm not sure if I actually did something consciously with it. 1990. That's an excellent question.
If nothing springs to mind now, it might do later. It's just that it won't let me go. It keeps staring at me from the page 1990. So I think there's something in there. And then if we look at 9 to 12 months, does that mean anything to you, like the last 9 to 12 months or thinking of 9 to 12 months? I guess, you know, I'll put words in your mouth. I mean, it may be give myself 9 to 12 months as a full-time artist. I don't know. But does 9 to 12 months look like anything else to you?
Well, I have a tendency to say that how long this is taking for the job to dissolve, but it's actually been longer. Mm. So,
how long has it been?
Well, the first clue I got was in December 2014.
Yeah. And that there were three clues? Were there three clues altogether? I'm thinking because there were three waves. You said there were 3 to 4 waves and 2 to 3 dissolved. So were there, if the first clue in December 2014 might have been remembered by your unconscious mind as one tidal wave that dissolved, what was the next one? Do you remember?
The second clue would have been March 2015.
March 2015. Was there another one?
Yeah, I'd say September, October 2015. These are all, how should I put it, key moments in the whole process.
Yes, I understand, yeah. And the next key moment was now, or is now?
Well, actually, this key moment is spread out. It's not really jumping out anymore.
Okay, it's frozen like the wave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So we do have 2 to 3, the 2 to 3 tidal waves in the dream, that the waves in the dream that were, that did dissolve. We have the December 2014, the March 2015, and the September to October 2015, which, as you say, were more key moments than dissolves, but there were times that came up for you were almost like pictured in the dream. Oh my God, what do I feel about this? Oh, it's okay, it's gone, it's dissolved. Oh my God, here's another one, it's dissolved, that's okay. Oh, here's another one, it's dissolved. Here's one and it's frozen, and that's now. So So the fact that they do kind of relate to what's been going on at work would, you know, strongly put this dream in being about the emotions behind work and how you're dealing with them. So that 9 to 12, we'll work out what that means, but it will have something in there that is meaningful and helps with that. So how would you summarize what we've got from this dream so far?
Well, it makes it very clear that, maybe that's something different, but it's like I'm scared to lose the job, and at the same time I've been pushing towards it. And literally spoken, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
So what have you learned about yourself that you didn't know before we began our conversation today?
I'm head spinning a bit. It's not that I'm not getting anything, but it's a bit hard to put into words.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. That can happen when things start shifting and changing for you. Things get a bit wobbly. But there's a sense of being able to perhaps see the more emotional side and the fear side of the job. Mm-hmm. As well as of the thoughts of being a full-time artist.
Yeah, I get the feeling now that it would be helpful if this wave would just break and, if need be, wash over me, but...
Yes. So let's imagine that. We won't actually do it as a dream alchemy now because we may do that later. But if the wave broke and washed over you, what do you feel, what changes do you feel that would make for you?
I think it would give me relief.
Yes.
Wash things away.
Yes. So what would it wash away?
Tension.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is funny because tension is something that comes up in the other dream.
Oh, good. Well, look at that. So it will wash away tension, Tim. What else will it wash away?
I think it will make me more confident.
Good, yeah.
Oh, that'd be something.
That's excellent. So it washes away one thing and it gives you another thing in its place, which is always an important thing in anything like this. You know, if you take something away, you've got to fill something in its space. Otherwise, you've got an empty hole in the psyche. So that's really great. So more confidence would be spot on for heading into being a full-time artist. And that's confidence whether you are then a full-time artist for life or whether it's for a short while or whether it's while you look for another job that does exist, that is personal and can be done at home and ticks all those boxes that you said. Is there such a job as that, you know, that opens up, that gives you more confidence in life in general and more confidence in finding financial support for what you want to do and maybe even more confidence for not only being a full-time artist, doing what you already do so beautifully and amazingly well, because I do know what you do, but it may be confidence to expand that or add something to it as well, you know, so there's always that as well. So because you said tension was mentioned in the second dream, would you like to run past the essence of that one and we'll see what we can add?
Yes, well, chronologically seen, it was the first dream.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
One of the Beatles was in my living room. In a chair, and well, I don't mean to offend anyone, but to me, he was the ugliest one.
So I better not ask his name then.
Well, I need to. I'm sorry.
Okay, so which one was that, Tim?
Well, he was around 35 of age, and he had this 70s head hair.
Yes.
And okay. I asked him if he wanted to have something to drink. And he said, yes, he wanted tea. He was very polite. And I said, which one do you want? He said, same as before. And I said, well, that's brilliant, but which one was it? he told me, but I while we were talking and I was asking him, what do you want to drink? I was in the kitchen and I was walking towards the living room. It's a rectangular space. It's one space. So I was walking from the kitchen to the living room to ask him what he wanted to drink and which one was it. And he gave me an answer and I walked back to the kitchen and I hadn't heard what he'd said, but I didn't find it very cool to ask what he'd said. So I thought, oh, I'll just probably will realize later. And I did, because when I was in the kitchen, I realized he'd said panic rester. The tea called panic rester.
Panic rester?
Yes.
I love dreams. Keep going. Yeah.
I was back in the kitchen to make the tea and I was singing Norwegian Wood. And actually, I'd been singing that before in, I don't know, a week before in another dream.
Ah.
Norwegian Wood.
Yes. Was that the end of the dream?
That was the end, yeah.
Mm. So I know Norwegian Wood is has contentious interpretations. I know there's a lot of controversy over what it actually means, and I've heard many different stories, but of course it's what you think of the story, it's your symbolism in the dream. So what are your feelings for either, do you have associations with the music of Norwegian Wood, or do you have associations for what the song is about?
Well, there are several things. I remember the very first time I heard it was at school.
Mm-hmm.
A teacher playing it and I really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, even though he sings there was no chair, when in the end he sings I lit a fire,
yeah,
in my mind's eye, he burns a chair.
Yes.
That's really weird, but I don't know why.
So as a paradox.
And it's actually about a guy who misses out on a chance, or so he thinks. He's biding his time and then she's gone.
Yes, that's right. So he misses out on a chance. You said you heard Norwegian Wood and you loved it when you were at school. It's such a beautiful tune. Were you by any chance between ages 9 and 12 then?
No, I think it was 15 or 16.
Oh, you were older, 15 or 16. Yeah. And that wasn't 1990 either?
No.
No, okay, so that was just was a good try. Okay, so so you remember Norwegian Wood and you'd had it in dreams before this as well, and it symbolises for you two things, one a really beautiful tune and a beautiful music, and or three things, and another one that it takes you back to that time at school when you were 15 to 16, and another one that it symbolises for you. It's a bit of a paradox, but it's about missing out on a chance.
Yes, and it's also a song that if I don't hear it a lot, I think it's great, but if I hear it three times in a row, I'm really done with it.
Okay, yeah. So it has its limitations.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so at the dream, with a dream is the... And do you drink tea yourself? What are your associations with tea?
Yeah, I sometimes drink tea. And even, well, funny thing is I woke up and I thought he must have meant tension timer, which is actually a tea I have in waking life.
Right, okay. And our dreams are very good at that, actually. If they can't remember the real word, they get something close to it. So attention timer to panic rester is probably referring to your tea. But either way, panic rester gets across the idea more dramatically than attention timer, doesn't it? Dreams always go for extra drama. Why do you think... Okay, so he's on a chair. Did you get the feeling, so you got the feeling by the end of the dream with the Norwegian wood that it was the chair that he burned, or was it another chair? I mean, metaphorically.
Not my chair. I just, every time I hear this song and I think about it, not think about it actually, because when I think about it, I realise she doesn't have a chair at all.
Yes.
I don't think about it, and he ends with, I lit a fire. I just somehow visualise him throwing a chair.
The logical mind comes in. She had no furniture, but it's got to be furniture that he burned. Yeah. So you start the dream with a chair, which is your chair, and you end it with a song where a chair is burned in your mind's eye, and someone misses out on a chance. So, you know, there's a whole theme of the dream begins and ends with this sense of something I've got and taking a chance. Am I going to miss out on a chance with this in some sense? And the middle bit, because we're not going into the whole dream because we're squeezing it kind of into the end of the podcast, the middle section about really needing to rest some panic or get rid of some tension here in the middle of it. And the tension or the problem in the dream, the only one really, is that you hadn't heard properly and you wondered whether you thought it's not cool to ask again. That was the only real problem in the dream, was it?
Yes, yeah. And I had a sense it would solve itself, and it did.
Yes, it did, didn't it? It did indeed. It's always worth looking at a dream to find out what's the first part of the dream that brings up a problem or question. And I don't think your problem or question was that there was a beetle sitting in your house, was it? You were, that wasn't a...
That was
funny.
It was very polite.
That's right, maybe. So the problem or the question in the dream, and particularly the first way that it's framed in a dream, often there'd be a problem or question and then the rest of the dream is trying to solve this question in some way. So you want to be able to say, how does that problem or question translate to my waking life, particularly the day or two before? So your question in the dream is, I'm not sure about something. It's not cool to ask, but my solution to this is I know that if I just wait a while, it will solve itself. And the dream says, yes, it absolutely will, but, you know, just in case you need some help with that, here's a panic rester, here's a tension timer. So it's like saying things will solve themselves if you let go of the stress. Even though at the end of the dream, there was this feeling of maybe he missed out on a chance. So I'm not so sure at the moment why we finished on that, except that you went from that into the next dream with the three tidal waves. You know, are you missing out on the chance of being a full-time artist or missing out on the chance of keeping the job? I'm not sure which way that's going, but the key part in the dream, without spending too much time on it at the moment, is that sense of I feel that if I just let go of the tension, let go of the panic, the answers will become clearer to me, things will resolve themselves. And then because that was the first dream of the night, the next dream that came up was, oh, you want the tension in your life to be resolved, do you? Yeah, well, here you go. Look, here are the first 2 to 3 tidal waves, and they did dissolve, they did solve themselves. Those first three clues or key moments that you got with your job did resolve themselves if you just let go. So maybe this frozen one will too. And as we've just discussed, you know, I said to you, how would you feel if you let that frozen wave in the second dream roll over you? And you said relief, it would wash away the tension.
Yes.
And if you look at that frozen wave towards frozen fear, it's what happens if you take away the fear. What if you sip the tension timer tea? What if you have a good cup of panic rester? what is frozen, the fear will thaw and things will sort themselves out. But there's still that bottom line in the first dream that you had was you're not sure if they will sort themselves out in the right direction. Will I have missed out on a chance because they're singing Norwegian Wood at the end of the dream?
Yes, well, I can explain that one.
Oh, please do. That'd be great.
The job dissolving also includes a negotiation financially.
Right.
And there's been so much stress also with my lawyer, between my lawyer and I and between my employer and I, that I'm like, oh, what's going to happen? Because things could go completely wrong.
Yes.
And that money is actually needed if I am a full-time artist to at least live the next
yes.
couple of months.
Yeah, rather than having a room with no furniture in it, like in Norwegian Wood.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Mm. Also, Norwegian Wood, what I thought about after I woke up is because that element has come back in other dreams around this time, fire.
Ah, yes.
That he says, I lit a fire.
Yeah, I lit a fire and it was good, Norwegian Wood.
Yes.
So it was a warming fire, not an angry fire. It was a warming fire.
From what I understand, because I looked it up afterwards on the internet, and it was revenge. She actually sets her apartment on fire.
That's right. That was the version I'd heard. Yeah. So there was nothing left at all. But it was revenge. But he felt warmed. He felt warmed by that fire. It wasn't like his revenge was gone when the burning was in place. It was like, didn't he say that or not? It's your understanding of the music anyway. So you're.
Interesting what you're saying, because when I lay this, what you just said, on to my situation, I would say, on the one hand, I can leave and negotiate something acceptable, but and mainly from people around me who say I've been, they haven't been very good to me, they've been really weird, and they're like, you should fight, and you should, you know, get more, and there's this whole stress within me, I mean... Because a lot of people who know the whole story say it's so wrong the way they've gone about it.
Yes. So you're saying that there's that on the one hand, that people are saying you should fight, but it's creating so much stress in you that there's a part of you that just wants to let it go and let it solve itself. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is. But if I do that, if I would, if they offered me something, and it's not minor, but it's in comparison, it's not as good as it should be.
Yes. Would it be enough to live by for a while?
Yeah, for a while. But in that regard, I would, because I thought about the dream with the Beatle, and he was 35. So I thought to myself, what happened when I was 35? And that was in 2006, and I didn't have a job that year. And I tried to be a full-time artist, and I worked really, really hard, but I went about it the whole wrong way. So I had a lot of stress, and I did all the wrong things, and I didn't get anywhere. So I have a feeling that fear may be why I can't pull back from the job.
We're very, 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 very good at expecting our future experiences to be the same as our past experiences, aren't we?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah. How long... I'm still looking for my 9 to 12. Wasn't 9 to 12 months at all, that time of being a full-time artist in 2006, was it?
It was almost a year. Yeah, maybe, because it was about 11 months, yeah.
Yeah, so that could fall in that 9 to 12, we never know, of the height of that wave, 90 to 120 metres high. So that fear of will, you know, could this just end up as a 9 to 12 month thing? I love what you said there, Tim, about I didn't love the fact that it didn't work out for you that time, but I did love the fact that you now say, looking back, that you did all the wrong things, which implies that you now know what the right things to do would be.
Yeah, I have a better clue now.
Yeah. So that's... from the rational point of view, but I'm sure all your friends have said this to you, you know, have you got the right lawyer?
Oh, that's a good question. It's debatable. I don't think so, actually.
Just because you said particularly there's a lot of stress between you and your lawyer, and, you know, really when you're engaging someone to act on your behalf, there shouldn't be any stress. That person should be right in there with it, with you, representing you,
Yeah, that's not exactly what's happening. Push and pull a lot.
Is it too late to change your lawyer, or is that a financial issue to change your lawyer, or can that be done?
Well, actually, it's an insurance lawyer, so to speak, and it's my third one because I've complained about the first two, which just didn't deliver at all.
All right. So they could also be the first two waves as well. Yeah. So that might be something worth looking into, is maybe changing your lawyer. You know, the other outcomes from looking at the dreams this far, you know, a dream shows you, as you know, your a kind of snapshot of your mindset now. And more importantly than that, shows you a snapshot of your unconscious mindset and other things that you may not have been able to see the overall pattern of. And these things better equip us to then make decisions, you know. But some of the things that have come up in your dream are the question of staying in there to fight, you know, the fire of revenge. And getting the full money and ending up totally stressed out beyond having the panic tea, and beginning a life of a full-time creative artist with no creative spark at all. Or, as you say, you know, the other thing that your dream brings up as a possibility, you know, is in your mindset at the moment. It's a possibility to let it go and it will all sort itself out and start the period of time as a full-time artist, if that's what you choose to do, with a smaller amount of money, but a feeling that there are other ways around this, you know, doing it the right way this time, finding another supportive job that goes along with it, that is personal and is cozy and can be done by home, and all these things that from home, and all these things that you believe can't be found in a job, you know. So there are other options there. So those are some of the things there, and the key, because we've got to be aware of our time here, is really, well, I've just got one other question to ask you, and don't think too hard about this. Don't think hard about this at all. But if you were to ask that beetle in his chair, that ugly beetle in his chair now, what should I do about my job? What would you think he would say to you? You're thinking, just say it.
Yeah. I'm trying to picture him. Let it happen, let it go, something like that.
Yes. Because, you know, everybody and everything in a dream represents something about ourselves. So it's sometimes good to question an aspect of a dream without your head getting in the way and just find, well, what are you trying to tell me in this dream? So he is saying the same, let it go, relax, let it go, let it be.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Because I won't tell who it is, but in Dutch, his last name means rigid.
Rigid, as in not flexible.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. There's a paradox there, then, isn't it? The rigid saying, let it go.
Yes.
The opposite. And you said that you find the song Norwegian Wood to be, well, I used the word paradox, but you said, you know, was there a chair or isn't there a chair? Like, is it, which way is it? You know, there's kind of two opposites here as well. So could it be that there's... Is there a previously more rigid aspect of yourself that is ready to let go?
I feel that it happens every now and then, and then I pull back again. So I try to relax into it, and it works, and then I get stressed out again.
What causes that stress? What is, of all the things we've mentioned, what springs to mind of what makes you pull back?
I think it has to do with negotiations and the fact that I feel that I should actively participate, and at the same time, I am kind of powerless in the whole story. That's how it feels.
Okay, so
is it?
Go on. Yes, you go.
What also I've been thinking is, and this is really recently, that all this stress about work is a diversion from my aunt.
Just, yeah,
it's you know, just running away from it.
Yes. And if you feel that, that's probably extremely true, you know, particularly through exploring your dreams, you get that sense of your shadow side or your underside. And so, you know, I'm wondering, even as you say that, Tim, you know, this diversion is a diversion from my art, is that might you even be choosing lawyers that you know that you won't get on with because it's going to keep the drama going, keep you out of the art? You know, question, we've got to bring this to a close in a minute because it's coming to an hour long, but question all those kind of things too. What steps am I taking, or what attitudes am I taking that are in the direction of freeing me up from the job to be a full-time artist? And what steps and actions am I taking that are keeping the drama going, keeping the stress there, and giving me the excuse not to be a full-time artist? There's the tension in a, you know, another use of the word tension, a tension between opposites there.
Yeah, I do have to admit that I do believe that I'm less powerless than I make out to be to myself.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see how indeed I would switch lawyers, and it all would have been better if I'd kept the first. So yeah.
Yes, yeah. So just being aware of these things and seeing these patterns within us is half the battle, you know, because we can then make decisions with reference to those patterns and try to break the mold where we need to.
It's funny you say mold.
Why is that?
I had a lot of dreams about eyesight. I wear contact lenses, and a lot of times in my dreams, the right one were molded and sticking together, and I couldn't use them anymore.
Okay, so there's that. So yeah, so it's beautiful. So what is my vision? How am I seeing life? What molds need to be broken? What new molds can I make? How can I see things differently? All of these things. This is an amazing time for you, Tim. There is so much opportunity, you know. I'd say, you know, rather than the Norwegian would idea of missing out on a chance, I think you've probably got so many choices and chances there that you're frightened to choose one because you might miss out on another. But we need to move to do some dream alchemy. And as you know, the power of the dream alchemy is that if we've explored the dream, then even without coming to a decision about what you want to do based on what you've learned about yourself by looking at the dream, we can work powerfully with one of the symbols to make a change at the unconscious level that then filters through to our conscious mind and helps us to make a better decision for us.
I'd love that.
Yeah. So there's several possibilities, and one is to do the idea of unfreezing the frozen wave, because as you say, you feel that it would wash away the tension and make you more confident, and both of those things would filter through to making good decisions. But is there another, you know, you're an artist, is there another symbol here that speaks to you more loudly that you would feel would be more powerful to transform and work with?
In the
either dream.
Well, what struck me was the fact that this beetle was, in my eyes, ugly, and at the same time, it was really polite and friendly.
Mm.
So maybe, I have no idea what it stands for. Mm. Well, other than Richard and being 35.
Yes. So he's ugly, but actually was polite and friendly. He's rigid, but is advising you to let go. And at 35, he represents your first go at a full-time artist. So he's saying, perhaps, don't be rigid about the experiences you had when you were 35. Let go. What seemed ugly to you then could actually be different now. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But you're drawn to working with him as your dream alchemy. You're feeling he's got something to offer you, perhaps something to offer you in what appears to be ugly or difficult or an ugly situation may not be. There may be something in this. So how about you do a dialogue with him? So what this means in dream alchemy terms is that straight after we finish this recording, unless you have to rush somewhere, hopefully you don't, you take 10 to 15 minutes, and either with a pen and paper or, you know, your keyboard, you have a conversation with this beetle. and you start with you, and you only speak about a sentence, and then he answers in a sentence, and then you answer in a sentence, and just no head involved, just let the conversation roll, bearing in mind that what you're doing is you're talking with a symbol from your dream, and you're basically questioning it and asking it to give you more information. Now, usually as this process goes, something transforms, you know, the conversation resolves something, and there's a transformation, or the dialogue gives you something else to work on, and then because you do know something about dream alchemy, you can then work on transforming that and getting to know that. But it looks like it's transforming something around what you see as ugly, and you know, the change vision, like you just mentioned, the contact lenses, or dissolving something around rigid and letting go. I mean, even in dissolve, there's that feeling of dissolving of rigid or dissolving of frozen. So a conversation between you and the beetle, and it starts with you saying, let me just think about it. What a beautiful chair. So what I've done there, I don't want you to think about this too much, but just for anyone listening, I put beautiful instead of ugly. I brought up the question of the paradox of the chair, and we've left it for him to respond from there. Okay?
Yes, okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for bringing two related dreams, and I will really be very keen to know what transpires as a result of all of this. but thank you for being an amazing guest on the Dream Show, Tim.
Well, I'm really glad you're happy, and I will let you know what happens.
Thank you. I look forward to that, and I'll share it with our listeners if that's okay. Otherwise, you can just let me know privately, and I will smile.
Okay.
Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.
That was wonderful, wasn't it? We got so much out of it. I'm sure you enjoyed that as much as I do. Indeed, I enjoy working with all our guests on the Dream Show. And it is indeed a wonderful thing for people to volunteer and come on the show, because it's great listening, I think. And it's wonderful that all of you out there in more than 26 countries do listen, and hopefully get, in the very least, inspired by listening to other people's stories, and maybe a little bit more than that, pick up some dream interpretation tips and ideas about how to approach your own dreams and get more out of your life by understanding yourself more deeply through your dreams. So thank you for listening. The website again, janetheresa.com. Do pass around the link for the Dream Show. It's lovely. Everybody dreams. Everybody's interested in their dreams, even if they say they're not. Get them hooked. Get them listening. I know I'll be speaking to some of you between now and the next episode through consultations. And otherwise, the next one, episode 184, will be going out in real time on the 11th of November 2016. Of course, this will be up for you to listen to for years and years and years. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.